Okay, let's continue on with the account of Jesus with the woman at the well. So we had just ended when they were having the conversation, and she said that, I know that at some point in the future, a Messiah is going to come. He's going to be the best prophet. And Jesus responds to her, I who speak to you am he. And it's this beautiful sentence there of him declaring to her that he is the Messiah, that he is the Christ, the Savior, the one who was promised through the whole Old Testament. He is there standing in front of her. So now let's read to see how she responds to this amazing revelation and what happens in the account. And John does a little sidestep here. He'll do two through this little section. And we see that that's how Jesus ended, verse 26. And then in verse 27, it picks up, just then his disciples came back and they marveled that he was talking with a woman. But no one said, what do you seek? Or why are you talking with her? So the disciples, remember, they had gone off into town to buy some food. They return and they see that Jesus is talking with this Samaritan woman. So they'd be a little surprised to see him having this interaction because he's a Jew, she's a Samaritan. And so they're just standing there wondering what's going on, but they're not questioning him. They're not interrupting. They're letting the event unfold. So they're seeing how Jesus is talking to her. And we see in verse 28, they don't watch too long. It doesn't seem like they were just coming up at the very end of the conversation, because in verse 28, so the woman left her water jug and went away into town and said to the people, come, see, a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? And so she leaves her stuff. She leaves the jug that she brought out to fill up with water to take back into town for her. She left that. She runs back into town and quickly tells all the townspeople who are going to listen to her, come, see this man. There's a guy out at the well who told me all that I had ever done. We remember from before that what she had done was shameful. She had been with five husbands, and the guy she was with now isn't one of her husbands. And so she's been living this life of sin and probably some shame and guilt. We don't know, but she's at the well at an odd hour for when the women would normally come to the well. So there's this weird time that maybe she's trying to avoid seeing some people. We don't know exactly what was going on, but we know that she ran back into town and told them, this man's told me everything about my life, because Jesus knows everything about her life, and that you should all come out and see. Not just come and see him like some magic trick that here's this guy who's able to tell the future or tell me about my past, even though I've never met him before. No, she ties it very closely back to this sentence that he had said. She says, can this be the Christ? Can this be the promised Messiah, the promised Savior? Can this man be? So there's still a little bit of questioning there in her voice, but it's come and see him. Can this guy be the one who has been promised, as he had just claimed to her that he was? And so this is what she goes and tells the town folk, and then they respond to her, and they respond in a positive manner. Verse 30 says, they went out of the town and were coming to him. So they come out to see. They believe her voice and her account that there is a man who's told her everything about her past, who appears to be the Christ. So let us go and meet him. Let us see. And now here's the second time where John takes a little detour. And it's a little surprising at the beginning, but I think you'll see why he takes this turn here to leave the discussion of the woman and the town's people coming out to meet Jesus, and turns back to the interaction with the disciples. So let's start walking through a little bit of this interaction here. And verse 31, meanwhile, so while the woman had gone into town and while she was bringing the town's people back out, meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, Rabbi, eat. Remember, they had gone into town, they had brought back food. It's been a little while now. And he was sitting at the well. And why was he sitting at the well? He was sitting there because he was weary. Remember, Jesus is truly God and truly man. He was weary. He would have been hungry in his mortal state as that man that was weary from the travel. And so the disciples had brought him food and they're urging him now to eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. It's a weird sentence. What happened? How did Jesus get this food? I have food that I have eaten that you do not know about. And so this is that similar contrast that Jesus had done with the woman at the well, or even Nicodemus. So with the woman, she was coming to get physical, real water, and Jesus asked her for a real drink of water. And Jesus said, oh, I would give you actual living water if you would ask me for it. And so Jesus was taking that real physical water and relating it to a spiritual water, physical drink and thirst to a spiritual drink and thirst. And now Jesus is doing the same thing with his disciples, with physical food and being fulfilled and satiated, to then a spiritual food and being filled. So he's doing that compare and contrast and that reference frame switching as he moves from the physical to the spiritual. And we're going to see here in just a second what he actually says that this food is. Because his disciples say here in verse 33, I was jumping too far ahead. So in verse 33, so the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him something to eat? So they're questioning, how did you get this food? Has someone brought him something? They're looking at each other saying, I thought we were all together bringing him food. Where did he get this food? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. And so we see here, Jesus defines what his food is. It's this spiritual food. It's to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish it. It's to do the ministry. It is to minister to those in need. It is to bring the gospel and healing, not just physical healing. Yes, he's bringing that, but spiritual healing to those who are in need. And this woman here is in much need. We've all sinned, and she has sinned and is living in her sin right here and is in need of a savior and someone to pull her out of that sinful life. And so when Jesus is there ministering to her and drawing her out of that sinful life, he is doing the will of God. He is calling people out in their sin, drawing them to himself, and granting them the salvation that is only found through him. So he is doing this will of the Father and accomplishing it. And in doing that, he is fulfilled. He is satisfied in the Father and in the work of the Father and in the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We see all of this spiritual nourishment coming to fulfill him here. And so he doesn't need bread to live on bread alone, but he needs the word of God and to go off and do this ministry. And so this is an amazing part here where we get to see Jesus draw that compare and contrast again. I think we'll end here for today, and we'll continue on as Jesus talks about the harvest, the wheat harvest that is coming before them. But just want to end here in talking through the spiritual food and spiritual nourishment. And so we can also be filled up with the spiritual water and spiritual food, so we can have that indwelling spirit in us that can produce that river, that spring, that flowing out of living water that can sustain and give us the thirst quenching that we desire, so that we do not need to go off and seek it in sin, but that we can seek it and be actually fulfilled in the Holy Spirit. And then here with the food, that we can turn to God, we can turn from our fleshly desires, not that desiring food's bad, but that we can turn from the desires of craving things from this world and turn to God and be fulfilled in Him and in seeking out His mission, filled in reading His words and enjoying them and savoring them. And we can also partake in the bread of Christ and in the body of His, in His body, and in the wine, in His blood, in the Lord's Supper on Sundays, on the Lord's Day. So we can partake in physical food that's fulfilling a spiritual need for us, and we can enjoy both the physical component of the food and the spiritual component of the food, and just revel in the mystery and the majesty that is Jesus Christ, truly God, truly man, living the life that we could never live and dying the death that we deserve to die. So let us turn to Him and praise Him and be fulfilled and satisfied in Him alone today.